Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. I have now spent half of my life, from age 18 to 36, defending the unborn. I know there are people who have done it a lot longer than that, people who have been doing it for 50 or 60 years. God bless them for doing that. But in that time, I've read a lot of books, had a lot of conversations, watched a lot of conversations on the issue of abortion, and I've seen arguments that work well and others that are less effective. So in this episode, I want to talk about those arguments against abortion, those arguments that people, pro-lifers, make in defense of the unborn that are not as strong. Some of them actually have some serious logical flaws in them that a defender of legal abortion can pounce on. We don't want that to happen, right? We always want the strongest arguments in defense of the truth, whether it's truth about God, truth about Jesus Christ, about his church, or about our unborn brothers and sisters who are at risk of being aborted. Now, the reason I want to talk about this today is because of a recent poll that came out from the Gallup polling agency. And people have tried to spin this poll saying that, oh, this shows that Americans support abortion now, and different people have reached all kinds of odd conclusions based on it. But what they said in their 2021 poll is that 46% of Americans think that abortion is morally wrong, and 47% think that it's morally acceptable. Now, that's not the same thing as legal illegal, because there's a lot of people who think that abortion is immoral. They think that it's wrong, but they still think it should be legal, right? I'm sure you've heard people say, well, I could never have an abortion. I dislike abortion. I would never get an abortion, but I can't tell somebody else what they can and can't do with their body, right? So there is still a majority of people in the country want abortion to be legal in certain cases. So for the past 50 years, there's been sort of a stalemate, and really, there really has just been a stalemate in this country, and that's a credit to pro-life advocates. Sometimes people think, it's been 50 years, why haven't pro-life advocates done better? Well, I would say I'm grateful the issue of abortion is not like the issue of so-called same-sex marriage. People don't celebrate abortion. People don't have Abortion Pride Month. A lot of politicians don't even want to say the word abortion. They don't even want to say it. And if you think about it, there are wealthy people in Hollywood, in the government, in the medical industry who are pushing abortion. And frankly, abortion sells itself. A lot of people, the vast majority of the time, people who end up with an unintended pregnancy, they're involved in consensual behavior and they realize, oh, this is going to radically change our lives. We don't want to do this. And they instantly want to seek out a way to get out of this situation. And so abortion naturally presents itself, just as infanticide presented itself throughout human history before the advent of modern surgery. So, yeah, pro-lifers, we haven't won and we haven't made giant strides towards winning. But the fact that we have held the line in the face of tremendous support, whereas in the last 20 years, look what happened with LGBT and so-called same-sex marriage. Whew. This shoots up. It's unbelievable. But abortion, we've held the line no matter what the other side has tried to throw at us. And this is really, pro-lifers are an army of part-time volunteers against a full-time employed army of people working for American Medical Association, NARAL, Planned Parenthood. They got millions of dollars. And here's what happens. When it comes to legality, about 25% of the country wants it illegal all the time, in every case. About 25% says legal in every case. 50%, the mushy middle, say, well, maybe only in rape and incest, life of the mother. So most people want abortion to be more restricted than it is. Even you go to Europe, you go to France or Germany, you go to these other European nations, abortion a lot of time is illegal after the first trimester. We're the outlier. It's just us, Canada, China, North Korea, that have things like elective abortion into the third trimester of pregnancy. So this poll said that now on the morality issue, it's 47 for, 46 against. But when you look at the whole thing, when you look at this poll in the past 20 years, you see it's basically locked in about 45, 55. It's a lot more dead even now. But previously, it had been about 45% are in favor of abortion at the high marks. 45% are opposed, 50% are opposed, 5% are not sure. But I do think there's been a gradual uptick in support for abortion. And as these new laws, like the Texas ban on abortion, the heartbeat bill, these other state laws go to the Supreme Court, we're going to be talking about this a lot, especially if the court weakens or reverses Roe versus Wade. So we got to be out there. We got to have good arguments. In order to do that, we have to avoid the weaker arguments. Now, I'm calling these weaker arguments, I'm not disparaging anyone who uses these arguments or has even found them effective in certain cases. I'm just saying, based on my experience, having done this for nearly 20 years, I've seen these arguments are not as strong as other ones pro-lifers can offer. So let me go through the five ones that we should avoid. The number one, absolutely one that we should avoid is, what about adoption? Now, you might think, well, what's wrong with that, Trent? Adoption is a really good thing. You're right. Adoption is a really good thing. But let me ask you a question. If adoption was not possible, let's say a woman lives in a country where it's illegal to do international adoptions, it's very poor. Should she be allowed to get an abortion because adoption is not possible in her condition? No, of course not. If adoption went away, abortion would not become moral. A variant of what about adoption is, what about pregnancy centers? What about the support we can give pregnant women? What usually happens is people will say, abortion should be legal because some women can't take care of their children. And the well-meaning pro-lifer says, well, no woman cannot take care of her child. She can place the child for adoption. She can get resources to help her raise the child. The pro-choice advocate says adoption is a tragic experience. It's very difficult. You don't really believe in those resources, or they're not really available. And we start arguing about these resources when we should go right to the central question. What are the unborn? Instead, this woman can't take care of her child. I would say, well, let's imagine she had a two-year-old. Should she be allowed to kill the two-year-old so she can now have resources for the unborn child? No, if you can't kill a two-year-old for that reason, you shouldn't kill unborn children. So while it's good after we show the unborn are human beings and they have a right to life, we can then say there are these other practical resources to help people when they find themselves in this situation. That's number one. Number two is, abortion hurts women. Now, I have been to post-abortive retreats as a visitor and an observer. I have seen firsthand the harm abortion causes women, even when it happened like 50 years ago. But this is not a good argument to make abortion illegal. Drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, fast food, they hurt people, but those things are still legal. It's legal to do things that are not great for your health. This argument cannot show abortion should be illegal. Now, some of you might say, well, maybe it'll help women to not choose abortion. And maybe it could get them to start thinking. But here's the thing. Saying that abortion is wrong because abortion hurts women is like saying blowing up civilians in war is wrong because it gives soldiers post-traumatic stress disorder. That's not why it's wrong. The PTSD that comes from killing civilians is strong evidence killing civilians is a grave moral evil, but it's not the reason. So saying that abortion hurts women, I see that as a good conversation starter, but not as the main argument for abortion being illegal or even for it being immoral. Number three would be, fetuses feel pain. There's two problems with this. Number one is a factual problem. The evidence we have suggests that at the earliest, unborn children feel pain at around 20 weeks after conception, and only about 1% of abortions take place after that point. So this argument, it doesn't deal with the vast majority of abortions. But let's say though, some of you might say, oh, Trent, you're wrong about that. Well, this study, that study. Fine. Let's say unborn children felt pain even early into the first trimester. That would only, guess what? Dogs and cats feel pain, but it's legal to euthanize them. All this would show is that abortion should be done painlessly with like maybe some kind of chemical, not that it's wrong to kill these developing human beings. So you'll notice the pattern in all of these arguments. What makes them less effective is that they ignore the central question. What are the unborn? If they're not human beings, abortion needs no justification. If they are human beings, abortion can't be justified. Number four is related to this. I've seen this everywhere, that fetuses have brain waves as early as 8 weeks. The problem with this is that it's a misunderstanding of brain waves. If you just mean electrical activity in the brain, well, even like amoebas and other very primitive creatures have electrical activity between their cells. That doesn't mean that this is a human being or a person. Rather, if you say, well, we're talking about the brain waves, the brain activity that's like in a human's, distinctly human's brain, you actually don't see distinctly human brain activity that is different from other animals until afterbirth. human beings do not cognitively outperform animals until they're many months old after birth. So pointing out that an unborn child has brainwaves, a pro-choice advocate who's savvy will say, no, you got the biology wrong here. Rather, what we should focus on is that this unborn child is a member of the human community who can grow and develop a human brain like you and me. Even if they haven't grown it yet, whether they're like a newborn baby or an eight-week-old fetus, they haven't developed a distinctly human brain yet, but they will because they're a member of a kind that deserves legal protection. Finally, the last one is, what if you were aborted? I've seen this on bumper stickers. Richard Dawkins in The God Delusion really takes this argument to task. He calls it the Beethoven argument. So there's a variant, actually. What if you were aborted? And what if they had aborted Beethoven? And what's wrong with this argument is that it grounds the value of the human being and the wrongness of abortion in the future activities, the definite future activities of the child, rather than the child's present value. So let's take the Beethoven argument. And I've heard this story. It's like, would you abort a child who is going to be deaf, live in poverty, have all these bad things happen to him? Congratulations, you aborted Beethoven, or Barack Obama, or Steve Jobs, or... And it's a heartwarming story, and it's a good story to share these to show, look, when a child is conceived in difficult circumstances, they are not forever defined by those circumstances. But it's not a good argument against abortion, because you can flip it on its head, and you could say, maybe here's a child who will grow up to be a horrible serial killer, well, you know, Ted Bundy or Son of Sam. Maybe we should have aborted them, right? Now you would say, well, you can't abort them just based on the evil they'll do in the future, because they're not responsible for that. Right. So abortion cannot be justified, just as abortion cannot be justified for future bad behavior, the right to life is not justified for future good behavior. Rather, we kill people only because they're a direct threat to human life. Like, you and I can only kill somebody in self-defense or something like that. But having a right to life is something we have in virtue of our humanity, regardless of what our future accomplishments will be. So that's why the Beethoven argument doesn't work. What if you were aborted? The problem is, asking what if you had been aborted is like, what if your parents had never married? Well, I wouldn't be here. But I wasn't murdered just because if my parents had not gotten married, that wouldn't have murdered me because I wouldn't have existed yet. That's what the pro-choice advocate will say. He'll say that embryo or fetus that was aborted wasn't me. Or they'll say, even if it was me, I don't remember it happening, so who cares? So, once again, not the strongest argument. The best argument is to focus on what the unborn are and to show that our reasons for justifying killing the unborn, if they wouldn't justify killing a two-year-old, they don't justify killing the unborn, because unborn children and two-year-olds, they're equally human. If we give legal protection to born children, we should give it to unborn children. By the way, if you want to go deeper in this subject, I would recommend my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my course at the Catholic Answer School of Apologetics called Arguing Against Abortion. And I did a previous video last week called Proof Human Life Begins at Conception, which I think you'll really like. So thank you guys very much, and I hope that you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.